Track Your Wealth Radio, where you go to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. I will be your hostess and guide today. My name is Heather Wagenhals, and welcome to our very special Black Friday edition of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program, where we help you navigate those murky money waters unto the promised land of financial peace, wealth, happiness, and salvation. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast, and we do this each and every week. In addition to having incredible show guests, we also feature the Keys to Riches, which is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically, all while transforming your current money habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that one key at a time, one week at a time here on the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program. And it's very ironic how every year it's Black Friday, and that week's edition is always our no seasonal exceptions key. And so instead of adding a guest to this week's show, I wanted to focus completely on the importance of this week's key. And it's a critical key in our success, because for those of you who have been with us since the beginning of the season, just take a look over your shoulder at what's happened the past 7 weeks, because this is our eighth week at it. And as our eighth week, we have come a long way. First, we have accepted that we have financial challenges. We have made a commitment to move forward. We began an affirmation process that is out of this world, that is literally changing your neural pathways each and every time you use them. Then, once you started to get your money mind right, then you started to assess the mess, financially speaking. And we started creating an unobtrusive, organic assessment of how we spend, because the how much is not so important, because what we learn here on this show is that our limiting beliefs about life in general are what get us into trouble with our finances. And so when we can get a handle on what's going on upstairs, we can get a handle on that wallet inside of our handbag or backside pocket. And then we created this fabulous Dreams with Deadlines, our goal setting strategy. We learned about all the areas we needed to know about money management, and knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful. We then learned how to take emotion out of the picture when making financial decisions, and we learned how to control our physiology, because we know how powerful that brain is, and if we're not in the right money mind frame, we're not going to be successful at making effective, rational, reasonable decisions with our brains. Then we learned how to address those fears that have created those limiting beliefs that we've lived by for maybe several decades. I'm working with some financial coaching clients right now that can't believe at their age that they're not prepared to retire. And as they look back across their lives, consciously and probably for the first time, are realizing certain beliefs they held about money, about family, about love, about relationships, about spirituality, were what put them where they are today. And it's so powerful when you can identify and confront those fears, because the biggest fear that the brain has is the fear of the unknown. And so if we explore all of those things in knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful, and identifying those weak spots, couple that with what we've learned about ourselves along the way with our affirmations and our identifying of our limiting beliefs, and moving forward by changing those money dramas that we have each and every day or week or month when it comes time to pay those bills. Then we learn what it means to create a healthy savings and spending plan. And we got rid of our budget last week. We broke the budget. We said, you know what? We're done with these prohibitive, restrictive, not realistic spending plans. And it gave us the tools that we needed to identify what specifically goes wrong in our finances. Because it's not how much. How much is a relative thing. Because how much to you is a very different amount to how much is too much to someone else. And so we can't look at the how much. But spending is cyclical, and it's driven by our fears and our emotions. And so when we dial that in and we use this assessment process that we talk about in Unlock Your Wealth Radio, we're able to figure out when things go sideways and why. And once we figure out when and why, meaning what's triggering that spending, then the how to fix becomes very clear. And that brings us to this week's key, which is no seasonal exceptions. And after we have come so far, financially speaking, personally, developmentally speaking, physiologically speaking, mentally, thoughtfully speaking, we've come so super far in the last 7 weeks, all to potentially blow it today. Number one, if this is your first season with us, it's because you haven't harnessed and mastered all of the skills yet, because there's still some to come. And so that's part of the challenge, is because we're fresh into this program. But never fear. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is here to help you get through this struggle, because on today's episode, what we are going to learn today is going to be quintessential for your financial future. It's going to be what's going to get you from where you are now to where you want to go without any hiccups. And the reason why that's so important is because one day at the mall can wreck our dreams when we think we're making others' wishes come true. Stay tuned for the answer on how to successfully navigate Black Friday on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X for Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Dirodori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Dirodori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twoforthroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Dirodori. Call Dirodori now at 480-661-9662.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And this Black Friday special edition show is tailored just for you to give you the intestinal fortitude to just say no to excessive spending on today's life journey. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and even though you may have made Black Friday not quality decisions in the past, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Before the break, we just enumerated this incredible journey you've been on, for those of you who have been with us for this whole season. And by the way, for those of you just joining us for the first time, in addition to welcome to the show, I'd like to share with you that unlockyourwealthradio.com has all of our archived episodes. All you have to do with the click of your mouse is go surf over to our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com, and you can download the previous episodes to catch you up. So if you have just recently found us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And be sure to look at all of our other resources, too, because we have the keys on there with each week's nuts and bolts. So you can access all of the resources you need to create financial happiness and health and wellness for you and your family. So enough with the pitch for the UnlockYourWealthRadio.com website. Let's talk about this week's key, shall we? So this is no seasonal exception. So we just created this masterful budget last week by breaking it. And instead of budgeting, we created a healthy savings and spending plan that is realistic to the way we live our lives and the things that we need in our lives. And we've identified when certain things go awry and what we need to do to get them back on track. Now that we've done all that hard work, all of a sudden, what is it? Black Friday. Or it could be any day. It could be your child's birthday coming up. It could be a bar bat mitzvah. It could be a graduation. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, but it's little Susie's third birthday and she needs a pony and a carousel and a jumpy thingy. Whatever that is, you can tell I'm not a parent to a child that I've had that young. I'm only a stepmom. And so we make these justifications for our bad financial behavior that sets us back significantly. It might seem like only a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars, but the ripple effect of what that money could have done has huge ramifications for your financial future, only because you chose to put it in something not productive. And you're like, oh, Heather, you don't want to have fun. You're a party pooper. It's not about that. And one of my favorite ways to explain this week's key is the rules of etiquette, protocol, manners, good breeding, whatever you would like to call it, thinks it's wrong. It's not just me, okay? It is not appropriate, if you want to talk about social appropriateness, to go and blow wads of money that you simply don't have on things. Simply not appropriate. And another thing that we have to remember when it comes to giving, and this is the part where people get hung up and they don't understand the flow of energy and of life in giving and receiving. So first off, if you're one of those people who say, good things never happen to me, I'm unlucky, I never catch a break, yet every time someone offers you a gift, you say, oh, no, no, I can't accept that. You are essentially giving the middle finger to karma and to the laws of reciprocity that are at work, that are trying to bring you the abundance that you say you want, but then when it gets here, you refuse it. And you're refusing it for reasons that are limiting beliefs. They're myths about giving, because people think if I get a gift, then I'm obligated to give one. And that's simply not true. Simply not true. The only thing that you are obligated to do as a recipient of a gift is to say thank you. Now, there's one exception to this rule, and aren't there exceptions to every rule? Even though it's the no seasonal exceptions key this week. But the one exception to the rule would be is if, and this is, it can become a serious thing, and so that's why I bring this up. If you have an unwelcomed suitor, if there is a gentleman or a lady courting you, and you do not wish to receive and reciprocate those affections, then you will not want to accept gifts from that person, because you are sending the message that you're interested when you're clearly not. And people like to let people down easy, and that's a whole nother show in and of itself. But being direct and appropriate and forthright is the way to go, by saying, look, thank you for thinking of me. I appreciate that you look at me in this fashion. However, I am only interested in a platonic relationship with you. I am not interested in any other kind of romantic exchange, and I don't believe that this gift is meant in any other way, and I decline. And that's all you have to do. But in any other case, if it's not a suitor, it's the universe giving you your abundance that you say you want. And so that's part of what happens. So then we get into this obligation cycle, because we don't understand that giving isn't about us. So when somebody gives you a gift, it doesn't mean that they're trying to hook you into something else, unless you're my mother, who likes to do that. So remember when I did this for you? Well, it's your turn to reciprocate. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. And it took me years to figure that out. And so if you came from a severely oppressive mother where you were almost suffocated by how tightly tied those apron strings were, this could be one of your money-isms. Because it's definitely one of my money-isms that I have issues with. And I can't go out and buy myself a new pair of shoes because my old ones have holes in them. But yet I can go to the store and spend $200 or $300 buying somebody a gift that I shouldn't be giving them because of this whole obligation and this whole weird thing that my mother set me up with when I was a kid. So having to overcome that dynamic is very difficult. And as you work through your money-isms and money dramas worksheets from previous episodes, where we talked about how to identify and overcome those limiting beliefs, you've got these weird things running in your head. So I'm going to set it straight, because facts don't matter when belief is involved when it comes to the human body. If you are looking for something factual, everybody wants proof. But belief suspends all need for proof. So we have to realign those beliefs. So first off, you have to understand that when somebody gives you something, it's not about you, it's about them. And you think to yourself, that doesn't make sense, Heather. How can it be about them? But then it's because we don't associate the receiving and the giving together. So now let's take a look at us giving. Why do we give? Other than our limiting beliefs and money dramas, we give for the perfectly appropriate selfish reason to be remembered. So if you give your girlfriend a really cool sweater and you think, oh, this would be perfect for her. I think she was going to look fantastic. I know she never shops here. She would have no idea that this would be here. So you give her this sweater, and then all of a sudden, every time she wears it, she thinks of you because you took the time to pick it out, and you got it for her, and you thought she'd look good, and by golly, she does. And so when she looks in the mirror, she's going to be like, oh, my gosh, I love Stephanie so much for giving this to me, and every time I wear this shirt, I remember her. That's why we give. We want to be remembered. And that's a good thing that we want to do that. We want to be remembered. And that's why we give. And so the follow-up to the giving to be remembered is the acknowledgement of the gift. This is the part where people get all goofed up. Because the acknowledgement of the gift, per the rules of etiquette, manners and good breeding, you know, is that all you have to do is say thank you. If you open the gift, I'm going to give you the rules of etiquette here real quick. So now you can start realigning your belief system about giving and receiving. So somebody gives you a fabulous present. So you get this great gift. If you open it in person, you say thank you. If somebody sends you a gift, you can pick up the phone and call and say thank you, or say thank you the next time they see you. But it requires a handwritten thank you. Not an email, not a tweet, not a text message. You know, I heart you, THX, number 4, thinking of me. No, you have to put some brain power and whatever Uncle Sam is charging for a stamp right now, you have to put some thought into it and say thank you. That's what people want, because that's the memory they're going to cherish. So they gave to you, and that's how you reciprocate, by saying thank you. Your gratitude is what they want, your grace. And I want a throat lozenge on this episode because my throat keeps drying out for some reason. And that's all they want, is to be recognized for that, plain and simple. So this is where we get hung up, because we have this guilt of getting stuff, because why? Why do we want to receive? Because someone in our lives tortured us, and we have this fear of not being good enough, and so we can't accept your gift out of the blue for no reason, because I'm not good enough. And when I refuse your gift, that's the message I'm sending you. I'm not good enough. And that is like the most offensive thing, unless, of course, you're trying to thwart a suitor, is to think of somebody, put all that effort and planning as a giver into giving somebody a gift, only to have them rebuff you and reject it and say, no, I can't. I shouldn't. That's too much. It's just right, and it's what you asked for from the universe, doggone it, so accept it. Be gracious. Be a gracious recipient. You've got all these people giving to you, yet you can't figure out how to be a gracious recipient. Accept the gift, and here is where it gets funky. Only start with a card. If the gift merits more than a card as recognition, which it shouldn't ever, but let's say you think it does, it's no reason to go mortgage the farm to give that gift. You are not obligated to buy your boss expensive baubles. He's the boss. He makes the big bucks. He can go buy his own expensive baubles. He gave you whatever he gave you because he wanted you to remember that. He didn't want you to reciprocate. He wanted you to remember. So that's where we need to stop all that crazy chatter in our heads and our hearts when we get goofed up thinking, oh, if I accept this gift, that I'm going to have to buy them something of equal value and blah, blah, blah. Nonsense, nonsense. No one wants you to go in debt and make payments on that debt just to reciprocate. It's not how it works. Because you'll pay it forward in some other way. You'll do an act of kindness that is an investment of not any money, but of your personal time, maybe volunteering, serving at a soup kitchen on a holiday like today, Thanksgiving, where you and your family just had not one turkey, but two turkeys and a ham. And so instead of sitting around playing video games, you go and volunteer to help others less fortunate. You might not have a ton of money, but you choose to do that instead. And it's because somebody was good to you. Just that gratitude should be passed on. But it doesn't necessarily have to be reciprocated. It just has to be recognized. Be grateful. And pay attention, because when people do things for you that seem out of the blue, that's the universe working its magical powers. And you can't dismiss that. I mean, you can. It reminds me of the joke with the lady that's on the roof because her house was flooded first before the flood came. A policeman knocked on the door and said, "Ma'am, let me help you. There's going to be a flood." And she goes, "No, God will take care of me." And then the floodwaters come, and she winds up sitting on the roof with her and Fifi. And then a fireman comes in a boat and tries to rescue her. And she says, "No, God will save me." And then a rescue helicopter from the Army comes to try and rappel down and snatch her off the roof. She goes, "Nope, God will take care of me." And then she's sitting at the pearly gates, and she's chatting up St. Peter. And she's like, "I thought you were going to take care of me. Where's God? Why didn't he take care of me?" And God hears this racket out in the front office, and he comes out as she's chatting up St. Peter. And she says, "What's going on?" And he says, I thought you were going to take care of me. And he's like, "I sent a policeman, a fireman, and a helicopter." So we missed that message in the giving of others and the receiving. So first, we must work on why we're not good enough and go back and work on that moneyism or that limiting belief from our past. And then we have to look at what's realistic for ourselves when it comes to doing a gift for someone. Am I giving for the right reasons? Am I giving because I'm expecting to get in return? Am I giving because someone gave to me and I feel obligated because I had to accept the present, and so now I have to go give something back? So know your motives. Always know your motives. Be a conscious spender. And by living consciously and knowing what your motivation is will determine what you do. Because sometimes it only requires a card to recognize another person to say thank you. People just want to be remembered. You can remember them simply with a card. You can remember them in other ways. Or you can take a moment and pay attention to what's right for you and your family, because one of my favorite phrases is, "It's meant to be. If it's meant to be, it's up to me." So if you're listening to this show, you need to ask yourself, if my family is meant to be successful and happy and healthy, it's up to me to make that happen. And if I'm out wasting money buying presents for people who could care less or don't want something or don't expect something, then if your family is in trouble, shame on you. Shame on you. But you can fix it. Another thing with this Christmas holiday, Hanukkah, presents every day, we can get caught up in the frenzy. And I would just like to remind you, for those of you who call yourself God-fearing Christians, God never meant for you to carry credit card debt. God meant for you to live within your means. And if God is so important to you as a Christian, let's remember Jesus. Everybody knows who he is, right? The guy who was sacrificed for our sins. On his birthday, what did he get? only three presidents, only three presidents, and two of them were stinky. Gold was the only tangible one, frankincense and myrrh. Those are stinky if you've ever smelled them. You're like, what? Baby Jesus got robbed. So when you think about what is Christmas, and if Christmas as a Christian is about appropriateness and being mindful of the man upstairs, and you don't have money this year, it's absolutely ridiculous and dishonest as a Christian to go out and spend a ton of money on your credit cards that you don't have to lavish your children and family with presents that you're going to go carry debt for. That is not Christian-like. I'm sorry. It just ain't. Baby Jesus, three presents. That's all I got to say. So what you need to do, if you truly want to take care of and take charge of your family and its finances, is celebrate with your family what Christmas truly is. Instead of spoiling your children with more stuff that they're going to break or not remember later on down the road, because you want to be remembered as this magnanimous parent that bought all these presents. What if you took and taught your children and showed them how fortunate they are, even though you might not be feeling fortunate? Whatever you have, I guarantee, will always be more than someone else. And if you were living in an abundant mindset, you will know this. And so challenge your children to find something in their closets that they don't use anymore and wrap that gift up and go to a shelter where they can give that gift to someone who doesn't have anything to give away. And remind them what the true spirit of this upcoming holiday is. Now, some great resources we have for you available on the website is our holiday savings and spending tracker. And the reason why we created this document is because Christmas falls on the same day every year. Your child, your spouse, your sister, your parents' birthday falls on the same day every year. So you have no valid excuse to go blow the wad 3 days before. You can save appropriately for that event. And let me just share with you some wisdom that I have learned the hard way over the years. If someone is expecting, demanding, requiring a gift from you for any reason to celebrate any particular holiday or special event or occasion, perhaps you need to reevaluate that relationship. The only expectation one should have of another is the gift of friendship, the gift of love in the heart. And so if you truly love someone and want to recognize them with an average, with a not so average present that's going to cost you more than what you would typically spend in a week on groceries or any other particular item, if you are looking at spending money in an inordinate fashion, number one, you have to question why, because the size of the gift isn't going to make you more remembered, because we give because we want to be remembered. It's the thought that counts. I mean, think about even the ugly sweater. You've been given an ugly sweater or something goofy, or your Aunt Judy's fruitcake, and you're allergic to nuts and they never remember. And so you can't eat the fruitcake, but you smile and you say thank you. Anyway, it's the gratitude, it's the thought. They were thinking of you, and all you have to do is be a gracious recipient. You don't have to go out and buy them tons of stuff. It's just like your kids. Teach them the value of the things that they have. This is a perfect teaching moment for you, parents, in whatever your family structure is, to create a legacy of gratitude with your family. by making sure that they appreciate the things that they do receive, and they understand that abundance can be fickle if they're not gracious. And so we need to, this hardship is an awesome time to teach it, because they, your children don't have to know that you're struggling. The children can just think this is a gratitude check, a little mini reality check on where they are in the grace and humility spectrum. So with this sheet, you can estimate how much you want to spend on a particular person and then break that savings down to a daily dollar amount that you need to be saving. And so when we can save for 364 days for a birthday, it makes it a lot easier than saving for 2 weeks. And for longer term stuff, like if you are Jewish, you know you are probably going to have a bar or a bat mitzvah for your child. If you are of one of the many Latin cultures, your daughter is going to have a quinceañera when she is 15. These are cultural expectations, and those parties can get pretty lavish. And if you were thinking, I want my child to have a pretty lavish coming out party, guess what? You have all those years to save for it, not 3 months before, because it's not like you don't know when they're going to turn 13, 14, 15, graduate from high school, graduate from college. You know, you can plan for this. And this worksheet will help you strategize what that is. It gives you the tools to think about some of the things that we don't think about, like Mother's Day. We always get caught up on Mother's Day. Or what about our anniversary or our parents' anniversaries? You know, we don't really think about those things until, like, they get almost upon us, and we see that when we flip to that month in view, we're like, holy crap, my anniversary is this month. My mom and dad's 50th. Oh, no, what am I doing? So because we forget about all those little holidays, it has all kind of great things to help you create a savings plan for future spending on gift giving, because it's the one thing that can sabotage our budget. Forget about that last weekend in Vegas, because that cannot be justified, and so we can't make it right in our minds. We know we did wrong. But when it comes to holidays and special events or occasions, we have a way of justifying it, and that holds us back. That can sometimes not just hold us back from our future financial happiness, but it could set us back, which is worse, because that means now we're in a hole and we have to dig out of it. So that's this week's key. What we need to do is go to the website, download all of the great tools and resources that we have for this week's key, and learn what it takes to manage our money effectively. And just start thinking about these things when we go. My CardUp assessment formula or philosophy is, when you receive a gift, or when you think you want to recognize someone, start with a card, okay? Because people understand we have a troubled economy. People understand not everybody is coming of roses. No one that truly loves you and cares about you is going to expect you to go broke to give them something. And if they knew that you were doing that, they wouldn't want to receive your gift. So if you were going to go bankrupt, I want you to tell people that. And I want you to see how they respond. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm challenging you to go prove me wrong. So when you go and buy that big screen TV that's going to take you 72 months to pay off on your credit card because you can only make the minimum payment on it, I want you to go and give that gift to someone and say, here, I bought you this fabulous TV, and it's only going to take me 72 months to pay it off. They're going to, number one, crap their pants. if they know you to any degree and know that you're financially not capitalized for a gift like that, they're not going to want it. They're going to feel terrible about it. And if they knew that you were going bankrupt to give them a gift, they wouldn't want it. So how is that going to make you more remembered? Just think about that. Think about, how does that make you more remembered to get the bigger present, the more expensive present, when someone who truly loves and cares for you wouldn't want you going in debt over it? So think about that when you go to give gifts. And if you don't believe me, try it out. Say, I just bought this for you on credit, and I'm not going to pay it off right away. Well, I can't pay it off right away because I'm drawing unemployment right now. So it's probably going to take me 32 months to pay off, you know, that new iPad that I just bought for you, or iPhone, or whatever piece of technology that's going to be outdated and before I get it paid off. You think they're going to want that gift anymore? No. Of course, people want stuff like that, but they don't expect you to get it for them. And if you're parenting appropriately, you'll sit with your kids and create a strategy to earn those types of big ticket items. So you won't be experiencing any guilt at the holidays with them expecting something that they haven't already planned for. Encourage their desire and drive for great tools. You know, my mother never did. She's like, oh, stop dreaming. You'll never get that. Stop asking for expensive stuff. I wasn't asking. I had a job. I wanted to buy it with my money. I had a plan in place, but I still wasn't allowed to have it because my mother was so freaky about money. But if you sit and say, okay, little Bobby, you want the new Xbox 360, all right? I'm not going to go at midnight to buy it at Best Buy. So that's not in our family budget, in our discretionary spending, little Bobby. So how can we together partner with your child, create a plan to get this for you on a timetable that we can all live with, and allow your child to participate in the plan? Then they're going to take ownership in it. So when they say, Mom, but I really want my Xbox, I say, well, wait a minute. I thought we made this plan to earn this, and you haven't finished earning it yet. Didn't you make a commitment? And you can remind them of that commitment, and they're like, oh, yeah. And then they get the buy-in because they remember they created the commitment. It's a wonderful teaching moment. It's a great example of what you can do to foster your children, because you want them to dream, and you want them to learn how to earn, and you don't want them to be entitled to things. You want them to be grateful for the things. And, you know, when your child has that kind of buy-in and has to earn those things, you'd be amazed at how well they take care of that stuff. Stuff that's given to them has no value and will be broken within a week. So it's a great opportunity to manage that. So you can partner with your children to create those big ticket items. You can use the holiday savings planner to get yourself there, and give yourself a break, because you deserve things too, and you have to refill your cup in order to keep the others around you full. You can't just keep pouring and pouring, because at some point your pitcher is going to be empty. So to wrap up this week's key, our nuts and bolts for this week's key is, our key statement is, I know that I am vulnerable when managing my money if I allow seasonal events and special occasions to disrupt my savings and spending plan. I acknowledge that to become truly successful with my money, I must be more mindful during holidays and on special occasions, because going overboard serves no one, especially not me nor my family. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am a gracious recipient and thoughtful giver, because the key is keeping that good karma flowing through the universe. Our key commitment for this week is, I commit to using Heather's card up assessment formula when determining appropriate gift giving for others. And then this week's key action item is, when giving gifts or remembering or commemorating someone's special occasion, begin with a card. Start from there and say, is a card enough to recognize this person? It's my best friend's sister's aunt's nephew's son that's graduating from high school. Yeah, that just requires a card, recognition, commemoration of that event. A card is sufficient. And then for annual events and celebrations, sit down and create a plan for saving with your discretionary funds to get there. We don't take it out of our emergency fund. We don't take it out of our quality of life. It's our discretionary spending fund. It's much easier this way, and the longer you plan in advance, it requires less intrusion with your daily dollars when you give yourself an entire year to carry out a sizable savings goal. Now, these are just some of the strategies that you can expect and things that you can find on our website. And if you surf over to www.unlockyourwealthradio.com, you will find even more tools to help you get where you want to go financially. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Heather Wagenhals, and you have been listening to our special Black Friday edition of Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Infleet's Key, No Seasonal Exceptions. I'm always eternally thankful and grateful for you, my faithful listener, who are on this financial path with me. And together, we will achieve financial independence for you and your family. Now, you be very careful out there in the malls with this whole Black Friday thing. Live and spend consciously. That is your mantra for today. Thanks so much for tuning in for our holiday edition. I'm Heather Wagenhals, where you go to get your money mind right, so your wealth and happiness will follow. Now go out and make it a prosperous day.